Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. It contains that very familiar story of the Good Samaritan, a story which is a call to action, one for those who have been brought up in the church, a very familiar story about outreach and care and concern for others. But so many people in our world today don't have any idea what this story is about. Though we have a major hospital in town called Banner Samaritan, named after the Good Samaritan, there are many people outside of the church that have no sense of that connection. And that surprises me. Yet for us, it's a call to the importance of knowing and sharing Scripture. Before I read it, I have just a couple comments to make. One is that Mike and Janet surprised us by showing up here today on this, their first Sunday, where they're not in a pulpit themselves. I introduced Janet as my former secretary on the district, but I also introduced her as a pastor. How do those two things fit? Janet was one who felt the call of God to be a pastor a long time ago. But being a woman and growing up at a time where that always wasn't encouraged, she chose to be active in the church in other ways, and she served on the district. But it was during those years that that call became even stronger, and she had to follow through on that. And she went to seminary, then she studied. And Janet, I think, would have been a joy to her father to know that she became an excellent preacher, just like him, just like him. I'm so proud of Janet. And Mike was a layperson. And later in life, when one feels the call, it's hard often to respond, because the shifts in life are much more difficult than someone who goes into the ministry in their 20s. But Mike responded and discovered the joy of his life in serving. And they served in the district that I served. They served on our northernmost boundaries in Jerome and Chino Valley and created there a niche for ministry. So I appreciate how the Lord works in our lives and calls us to different things. I want to share two more things, and this is about my family. My daughter, Megan, invited Mom Debbie and I to go help her set up her classroom. I was overjoyed on Friday to be helping Debbie put up a bulletin board. Megan felt the call to be a teacher. Megan had the grade. She could have done anything she wanted. Her call was to children, to teaching. And what a joy it is for Debbie and I to see her come to this point, as with Nicholas and his call to be a doctor. But one last story about my family, and this one is Mary Bailey's fault. Mary Bailey is in the back. Mary Bailey was in Hobby Lobby this week, and she couldn't find her keys. When she locked her car, she dropped them in her purse, but she missed the purse. And not knowing, the keys fell to the ground and bounced under the car. Well, while in Hobby Lobby, she discovered that she did not have her keys. And none of the workers there carry phones. They're all required to lock them up in the back. And in her desperation, not knowing what to do, she said a prayer. She said, "Lord, help me. I don't know what to do." Lo and behold, my daughter Hannah, who's sitting in the back, was over at Staples running an errand, and she said, "I had this feeling that I should go to Hobby Lobby." And she said, "I don't really need anything at Hobby Lobby. Maybe I'll just go look around." And so Hannah went to Hobby Lobby. Mary was praying for help. They came together, and all was resolved. I think the Lord works in our lives in real ways in this day and age. To feel the calling to be a teacher or a doctor, to feel the calling to be a pastor, and to make the changes to follow through, to know that when you're in trouble, to call out to God for help, and know that the Lord will sometimes speak to us and say, go do this. And we don't always understand why, but God brings us together in our time of need when we call for help, and also the calling to help others. And that is our message today in Luke, the call to help others. Hear now these words. It is a story in the Bible that literary critics have called the greatest story ever told. One for us that's familiar, yet one we see it's a story within a story with many different subplots. Hear now again from Luke 10. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered right. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, The one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. This is Loving God, we invite your Holy Spirit to be here with us. Fill us and let us hear your voice. Speak to us. And we thank you for your word that gives us instruction and direction. Our prayer today is that you would continue to be here in ways that lead us to hear you, to listen to you, to respond to you, and to act and live accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Ronald Reagan, former president of the United States, once said, We can't do everything for everyone, but everyone can do something for someone. I think those words speak to us in terms of what this scripture says. It's a call to action. Pablo Picasso once said, Action is the foundational key to all success. And William Barclay once wrote, In the end, we will be judged not by the creed we hold, but by the life we live. In our passage today, Jesus says to the lawyer, who was a student of Mosaic law, one who was well-versed in the scripture of their day, he said to him, "Go and do likewise." Our passage begins, unfortunately, with the lawyer sharing that he is not approaching Jesus with the right heart. He's looking to trap Jesus. The lawyer asks him a question about eternal life. But understand that the lawyer, this perhaps he was a scribe, a Pharisee, we don't know exactly, but he came to Jesus being a part of the group that was being threatened because Jesus was teaching something new, something exciting, something that the people were responding to. And this person said, "Well, teach me about eternal life. What must I do to inherit it?" Normally, that'd be a great question. In our Sabbath service last night, we had a testimony shared by one of our church members who attends every single Saturday night. He shared a story about early in his life when he died and came back to life. And in his story, where he described it as an out-of-body experience, where he came right back, but he said, in those moments where he was away from his body, as others have written similar accounts, but this is one of our own who told the story. He said simply this: words cannot describe, there are no words in the English language to describe how wonderful I felt, the peace that I experienced. And he said that in that experience, an angel said to him, "It's not your time, you need to go back." And he returned and shared that. Then there were some life struggles, but he shared this. He has no fear of death now, because having experienced that, he is at a place where he knows that with God, we transition from this life to that life in a peaceful, wonderful way. He said people all the time say to him, "Oh, you might have been dreaming, or maybe you were hallucinating or something." And he said, "No, I wasn't. I wasn't. For me, it's real." And he shared that story with the folks in church. And so the question about eternal life, the lawyer asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, being a man of religious education and instruction, he was one who, as many of the Jewish leaders and scholars of his time, had on his wrist a small leather box called a phylactery. Sometimes they'd wear it on their head. But in these leather boxes were contained the basic scripture. And he shared from Deuteronomy in response to Jesus. It's interesting. First of all, let me share this, that he came to Jesus hoping to trap Jesus or to reveal that Jesus wasn't consistent or whatever his motive, and he asked a question. Jesus responded with a question. We call that in education the Socratic method of teaching, where sometimes by asking another question that leads to the answer. "Tell me about eternal life." And Jesus said to him, "What does it say in Scripture? What do the Mosaic laws say?" Basically, Jesus said, "What do you read when you look at Scripture? How do you read it? How do you interpret it? What do you understand?" Jesus asked that question, and his response was the right answer. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind." And to that, Jesus said, "Then go do it. You are right in your interpretation. Go live it." But the lawyer added something else. We see in other places in Scripture where those words are used. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. But he added, taking from the book of Leviticus, something that wasn't originally included in that book of Deuteronomy, and he said, and your neighbor as yourself. So his question to Jesus. And here was the trick question, seemingly harmless. And who is my neighbor? Seems obvious, everyone would be, except the trick question was this. In Jewish law, the neighbor was described as anyone who also is Jewish. To love your neighbor is to love those who are just like you. And Jesus responded with this story. There was a traveler traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. En route, he was attacked by robbers who stripped him, beat him, and left him half dead. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was a treacherous road. Church historian Jerome wrote in the 5th century, describing that road as the Red Road or the Bloody Road. It was a trek from Jerusalem that over a course of 20 miles, going from a high elevation to an elevation below sea level, that trek was roughly 3,000 some feet in elevation over the course of 20 miles. Meaning there were many turns and curves, rocks and so forth, where bad guys could hide out. So maybe it wasn't real smart for this traveler to make that journey alone. And one might say, well, it's his fault. He was robbed, he was beaten, left for half dead. The first person down that road was a priest, one with the highest of education in Jewish culture, in Hebrew culture, one who knew the scriptures, knew the law, one who led others in seeking God. A priest came by in Jesus' story. He saw the wounded man beaten, bloodied, near death. And the priest crosses over to the other side of the road, seeing him and continuing on his journey. The priest had, by virtue of his work, leadership as a priest, the understanding in Jewish law that if he were to touch someone who was beaten and unclean by the standards of the rules, then he would have to, by law, not be able to do his function as a priest for 7 days. So he, in his mind, according to what we surmise in the story, the priest decided not to help the man. Maybe it's because of the 7-day thing. Maybe it was for some other reason. But the priest just kept on going right down the road. The next person down the road was a Levite. You remember the Levites. The story of Jacob, who had Joseph and his 12 brothers. The story of Joseph and the amazing color, technicolor dream coat, yeah, that story. There were 12 brothers. 11 of them became, as they divided land in Israel, became the leaders of the 11 tribes. The Levites were not given land. Their role was a priestly role. And the Levites, the descendants of Levi, all lived among the other brothers, but serving a religious role. It was sort of like the first one down the road was the priest. The Levites served like the like the lay persons, sort of like the Stephen ministers or like the lay associate pastors, and they served in a supportive role of the priest. And they had very strict rules that they had to follow, and they were ones who served other people, served in that priestly role along with the priest. But some of their rules included things like be safe and don't do things to put yourself in harm's way. And one of their rules in that safety could have led them to think this. Because the bandits oftentimes would use decoys. And we have know this from history. They would use decoys that would lure a person to come and help somebody, and the rest of the bandits would jump them and do the same to them. So all of that, we don't know why. We simply know that the priest crossed over, didn't help. The Levite crossed over, did not help. Now, for all the Jews listening to this story, Jesus says, now down the road comes a Samaritan. And they probably thought, aha, here comes the bad guy. Because the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. The Jews saw the Samaritans as being inferior. And yet, in this story that Jesus tells, it's the Samaritan who is the only one who stops and helps the injured man. He uses oil and wine, and that was the medicine of their day, and treated his wounds. Put him on his own donkey or burro and took him into town, to the inn, where he continued to care for the beaten man. And he took money out and gave it to the innkeeper and said, continue to take care of him. Here, this will cover your costs. And whatever costs you incur after I leave, I will come back and pay you what you have spent. And Jesus says to the lawyer, in this story, who is the one who helps? Who is the one who helps the neighbor? And the lawyer had to answer. He said, well, obviously the Samaritan. And Jesus said to him, then go and do likewise. Go and live the same way. There's an expression called the snowball effect. And the snowball effect is simply this. If I do something good for Ed, and Ed says to me, oh, thank you, I don't know how I could ever repay you. The snowball effect is that I would say to Ed, well, don't repay me. But when you have the opportunity and someone comes to you needing help, you help them. And you say to them when they say the same thing to you, you help someone else when they need help. And in this way, I have helped Ed, and I can feel good about the fact that though I won't be repaid directly, I will be paid indirectly when Ed helps someone else. And then that person helps someone else, and it continues. The word that Jesus shared was simply that we are people called to help everyone. I know one time, and Janet will remember this, that I was visiting the church that she served and was talking about with enthusiasm about my love for the United Methodist Ministry in Africa. I was talking about Africa University because I had just been there, sent because I was a superintendent, and what a wonderful experience for me. And to see that they were digging wells for people in Africa, and they were curing malaria, that the United Methodist Church was the leader in Africa in overcoming malaria, and children's lives were being saved. And I was so excited. I shared that in Janet's church, and you're not to say whoever, but one of the members of her church came up to me and said, I don't want to support that. I only give to America. And I understand where that comes from. But my thought was, Lives are being saved. Children's lives are being saved. People are getting water. Malaria is being overcome. Education is being brought to the Africans, and they are turning their world around through the work of the United Methodist Church. And I was so grateful for our church in doing that and disappointed in the response of that person. This passage says to us, who is our neighbor? They all are our neighbor. The neighbors are not just the people who look just like us or who live just in our community. They're all our neighbor. And the Lord calls us that when the opportunity comes and when we are to do something for someone else, we do it. I had a funny story I shared last night during the Sabbath service, but it doesn't fit here, so I'll save the funny story for another time. What I want you to do, though, in closing, is to know that in the same way that Jesus spoke to the people of his day and said simply those words, go and do likewise, that's a word for us. And my closing is this: I cannot be more proud of a church for outreach and doing for others as this church does. Once a month, we have a powwow where we distribute food, basic food, to people in our neighborhood who live on fixed incomes and others who can benefit, and food is shared through that program. We have an active United Methodist Women's group here, and everyone knows the United Methodist Women's from the beginning of the church. The Methodist Church have been the strong right arm of mission work and outreach. Our United Methodist men do the same thing. We have Chris Crafter people in the back who sew and make blankets and so forth, and they send them to Mexico and Jamaica and other places. And it doesn't matter who receives. There is an attitude here in this church that we will do everything we can for as many people as we can. Now, our outreach committee, sometimes they're frustrated because there are more groups they want to support and help than we have resources to do. Again, Ronald Reagan said we can't do everything for everybody, but everybody can do something for somebody. We as a church do all that we can. But the message for us today is that besides that collective effort, there's the individual effort. And maybe you'll be going down the road and there'll be somebody who needs help. Maybe it's Mary Bailey at Hobby Lobby. But whatever it is, take the time and say, Lord, use me because I hear your words. Go and do likewise. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.